coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, blow the whistle, blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
Hey everybody, welcome to the very first episode of the Fantasy Assistant Coaches, hopefully the first of many. So my name is Rob Maddox. I'm here tonight with Tom Hicks and our guest Lee Metzger. So quick background, I write for the Fantasy Coaches and I do some stuff for Stripe Hype, which is a Cincinnati Bengals site, and a couple other unnamed websites. We're here to bring you some previews of what's coming up and some recaps of the surprises and things we saw over the weekend that we want to talk about. It's going to be pretty quick hitting. It's going to be free flowing. We're going to keep it short to the point, and hopefully we can, you know, turn you guys on to someone you might not have noticed, or, you know, someone who might pop in the next couple weeks and maybe take you to a weekly win. So, Tom, tell us a little bit about what you got going on and your background.
Well, I write for the Fantasy Coaches as well. I just started up a Twitter account for fantasy football, which I'm starting to get it going. Been doing fantasy for about 15 years, and I've never gone a year without winning at least three championships.
Nice. So,
yeah. Off to a rugged start this week, though.
So Tom, what's your format of preference? Are you a redraft guy? You dynasty? You daily? Or are you best ball, or all of the above?
This year, I've done mostly redraft. I got into a lot more dynasty, a couple of guillotine leagues this year, some keepers, and I do daily. I'm hoping to hit that million so I can just call my boss and tell her I have too much money and I won't be in.
Okay, so you're not. Yeah, I know you're going to let us in on this since we're all in this together, right?
Absolutely.
All right, sweet. We got this on tape. So, Lee Metzger, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you got going on and your background here, buddy.
Sure. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate you having me on. I am the founder and editor-in-chief and chief content provider for HailMaryFootball.com. We do general across-the-board fantasy advice, but basically the thing that we specialize in is going dumpster diving. We try to provide a top 12 quarterback and tight end streamer every week, and then a flex play at wide receiver and running back. And our shtick is we basically will only focus on players that are available in 34% or fewer of Yahoo leagues. So one third of leagues. I think that gives pretty broad based appeal. We try to give at least three streamers at each position every week. And we generally run at a hit rate of about 50%. Which may not seem great on its face, but when you consider that we're dealing with the dregs, I think that's a pretty quality result. So our tagline is, if you're desperate, we're giving you a prayer.
So Lee, if you can pull anyone from the last year to right off the top of your head, I know I didn't give you prep on this, but right off the top of your head, what's the one call that you can think of that you're most proud of? And you can go this past week or last year.
Well, we nailed James Robinson early on last year, and you know that's part of the thing with streaming is if you nail somebody early, you don't have to have a streamer for the rest of the year. So our hit rate would be higher if we were allowed to use players that, you know, over and over and over again. But you know, just this past week, for example, on Hail Mary Football, we certainly nailed Tyrod Taylor as a streamer for somebody that was a top 12 play that wasn't getting a whole lot of love, and we've already got the this week two Hail Marys up for this week.
Excellent. You know, too many sites out there, they tell you the obvious starts and they tell you about guys that you already know about. So it's good to have a resource where you really are scraping the bottom of the trash can. You know, the old cartoon where the cat's got the trash can lid and he's picking up the chicken bones and the fish bones. Sometimes you need to eat the fish bones and the scraps out of the trash can, and you need a place to find those. So good work there. So let's talk about anything we saw this past weekend that just, you know, sort of shocked us. And it was a weird, wild weekend. And there was a lot of things we didn't expect. There's some injuries, a lot of guys who went off and who didn't go off at all, and some very questionable coaching decisions, personnel-wise and on the field. So, Tom, let's start with you. What really did you take away from this past weekend that just really had you pacing around the living room on Sunday?
You want one or you want the top three?
You give me what you got, because we're keeping it under 40 minutes and we're going to keep rolling. So what do you got?
Okay. My first one was Carlos Hyde starting in Jacksonville. And that was like the I'm surprised they didn't call it Arian Foster. I mean, starting Carlos Hyde has been playing since like what, the 60s. And they and James Robinson, who had a great year last year. I mean, at the end of the day, he got more touches and everything else, but it's one of those decisions that didn't make any sense.
I think Carlos Hyde and I rode the school bus together when he was in high school and I was in middle school. Tom, do you think this is an Urban Meyer problem? Is he going to be like your example of the great college coach who fails at the professional level, or is he going to adjust this? And I want to also preface that I wrote up Carlos Hyde on another site earlier in the year as someone who could be a total pain in the ass this year, and I feel like he's going to be a pain in the ass all year.
Well, I bow to your greatness because you nailed it on the first week. I think Urban Meyer is so far over his head right now that it's just ridiculous. These aren't college kids. It's not the college game. Some coaches made it work. Jimmy Johnson made it work just fine. I don't see Urban Meyer doing it. He doesn't have the temperament. The word out of camp was that he's easily angered. He doesn't understand why other people have to get played when he wants to play certain. He doesn't know how the pro game works as compared to the college game.
I felt like he was getting too cute this week by starting Hyde, and so I think you're on the right track there. What do you got, Lee?
I'll try to go in a little more positive direction, but one of the biggest surprises of the week for me was Jared Goff. Did anybody see this guy coming against the San Francisco 49ers defense? 57 pass attempts, 338 yards, 3 scores. He was one of the best quarterbacks this week, and I bet you almost nobody started him outside of Superflex leagues.
So, Lee, let me ask you this. Was that a product of game script and just the absolute volume that they had to have? What's your expectation for a neutral game script moving forward? Because we know Goff's not a 57 pass a week guy. Not a whole lot of guys are. And that to barely clear the 300 yard mark for 57 attempts, that's not a great average, but what's your expectation for him going forward?
Well, he barely cleared the 300-yard mark, but who did he do it throwing to? If you look, the leading receivers on that team were tight ends and running backs. You had like 8 receptions each out of Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift, and TJ Hockenson. So that's an offense that's probably going to be throwing a lot of passes near the line of scrimmage or just, 5 yards down the field. They're not going to get terribly deep. One of my big misses this week on Hail Mary football, which I always own up to my misses, is I promoted Tyrell Williams as a start this past week. That blew up in my face. I figured if they were going to be playing catch up, they were going to be chucking it deep to the wide receivers. That's not what happened. This was a tight ends and running backs driven offense, and I think that's what we can expect moving forward.
Is that a product of a Dan Campbell offense where he's going to keep it close to the vest and use his running backs and tight ends? Because he's a power football guy. Some in the industry call him a meathead. He likes to run the ball. So you think that's what we're going to see going forward? Like the receivers are going to be like pretty much an afterthought?
I think it's a product of adapting your game plan to your personnel, and their personnel does not consist of any good wide receivers.
That is 100% correct. So I'm going to throw out there one of the hometown boys, and like I said, I do a little prognosticating for a Bengals fan site, and I was 5 of 6 on my start sits this week, but I left Ja'Marr Chase. I had him as a sit, and like Lee said, I will own up to my misses. I 1,000% did not see Ja'Marr Chase having the game he had. Him and Joe Burrow looked like they picked right up from college. The beautiful deep ball, the communication, almost sometimes it was like it was the Carson Palmer, Chad Johnson look at each other type thing. They clicked immediately, and I did not see that coming. So Ja'Marr Chase shocked me. I thought it would be a Tyler Boyd volume game and a T. Higgins touchdown game. Now, Higgins got his touchdown. Boyd was sort of the missing man, and Chase was – everything we had hoped Ja'Marr Chase would be. It's like Penei Sewell Hewell. That was sort of cheesy, but whatever. It was a Ja'Marr Chase game, and I loved it. What do you guys think?
I was surprised. I sat Chase in a couple of leagues myself, mostly based on the reports that he wasn't able to catch the ball. And then when I read the reports that he had said that he couldn't catch the ball because it didn't have white stripes on it like they did in college, I was like, yeah, I'm not risking it this week. I paid for it.
This was one of those opportunities to buy the dip. Earlier in the offseason, you had Ja'Marr Chase going as a late fourth round or early fifth round pick, and he dropped into practically the eighth round in a lot of leagues based on those negative reports out of camp. You had to know that the guy didn't forget how to play football. He was just rusty after having a year off. Yep. So anybody that kind of discounted some of the negative reports coming out of camp was rewarded this week.
My last draft, I got him in the last round.
Wow.
Wow.
Let me in that league.
For real. So let's Lee, give me something on the negative side. Who this week really disappointed your ass?
Sure. Let's stick with the rookies. I'm somebody that was a big believer in Elijah Moore. I thought he was primed for a huge game this week. They played a soft Carolina Panthers defense. Jamison Crowder was ruled out with COVID, and Keelan Cole had an injury. So it was going to be him and Corey Davis. And I thought this guy was just in a position to just absolutely smash this week, especially because of all the positive buzz you heard coming out of training camp. I mean, there were some beat reporters saying that this guy was the best player in camp, not the best rookie in camp, the best player in camp. And then he shows up and posts a negative output in his rookie debut.
So what was the problem? Was it a Zach Wilson problem? Was it a game plan issue? Was it him? What was the problem there? I didn't see any of the highlights of that game, so tell me what happened.
I don't think it's a Zach Wilson problem because Zach Wilson was able to – I mean, he started slow. Don't get me wrong. I was concerned at the outset of that game. But by the end of it, he manages to hook up with Corey Davis for almost 100 yards and two touchdowns. So it's not a Zach Wilson problem. I think it's a guy that was just not ready for prime time. And we're putting too much stock into a wide receiver that's, what, 5'8 or 5'9? There are guys at that size that are successful in the NFL, but they're the outliers. And maybe Elijah Moore isn't an outlier.
All right, very, very good points. And that was one of my one of the things about Elijah Moore that really kept me away from him was that size. I mean, as a slot receiver, that'll be fine. But there's only – that's small, dude. That is really, really small. I mean, and they say he's really big and broad-chested, but that's still a little guy. So, but maybe down the road, him and Zach Wilson will mesh. But yeah, he was a huge disappointment.
Tom, I haven't given up on him yet, but no, I'm certainly not going to be starting him anytime soon.
Well, don't pull a me and give up on a guy after 1 week. Okay, so yeah, my track record is very well documented in that field. So yeah, you got to play the long game with a guy like that, even if he's not a long guy. Got to play the long game. Tom, give me something. What do you got?
My favorite surprise was Houston.
Woo! Apparently, love it.
Apparently, nobody told them they were supposed to be worse than awful. They came out there and they played ball and they just kept jamming it and jamming it and jamming it. And nobody saw it coming.
Tom. I wanted so badly to get on that, not a Houston bandwagon, but to take that point of view. But I was just afraid of the shit I would get from people on it. But you're right. They did. There's a lot of guys there that are solid NFL players if they're not stars.
Right. I mean, going in, when I was drafting, I wouldn't touch a Houston running back. Brandon Cooks was the only player on that team I would touch. And I took Tyrod Taylor in a super flex league as my third quarterback because he was the only one left. But
I
didn't want any part of him.
Now tell me what you see for them going forward, because you still got the experts saying, well, I don't see more than one more win on the schedule. Well, you didn't see this win on the schedule either. So what do you got for them going forward? You got solid NFL talents there. So are they going to be able to mush this together into a ball of mediocrity? Because that would be good for what we expected.
Right. I think it's going to be a ball of a little bit of sub-mediocrity. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they are, but at the end of the day, they play Jacksonville.
But
Jacksonville isn't the strongest defense on the planet.
Right, but everything starts from the offensive line on back, and they have an above-average O-line.
Right. Oh, I think they can win some games. Maybe four, I see, five tops.
Shit, that would be Coach of the Year stuff right there.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to blow anybody away, but I think they'll be in games. I don't think – I mean, they'll get blown out by really good teams, but they'll be in more games than people thought they were going to be.
I think we're asking the wrong question, too. The question is not, are the Texans going to be good? The question is, are they going to have fantasy-relevant performers? And we saw in week one that they can. I already talked about Tyrod Taylor, and then Tom just mentioned how good Brandon Cooks was. I don't see any reason why we can't use them as viable spot starters moving on.
Yeah, so Mark Ingram was a huge surprise.
What do we do with this running back core? Because Ingram had well over 20 carries, and you had touchdowns out of David Johnson and Philip Lindsay.
Well, if I can chime in, that was going to be my number three surprise was Mark Ingram from the week with 26 rushes, 85 yards, and a touchdown. I think the reason that we saw Philip Lindsay get involved is because of the game script and how they had already given Mark Ingram 26 carries. I think that the 1A plan is Mark Ingram for the Texans, and the 1B is probably David Johnson.
That's an insane amount of carries, and if anyone can scoop up Mark Ingram off the scrap heap for at least the first quarter of the season, you could ride out an injury with Mark Ingram in a short term. Sure. For myself, I'm going to go with the Titans offense. What the hell? Okay. What happened here? This was – I thought this was a smash game for them. You had 21 for 35, 212, and one out of Tannehill. Yeah, he ran one in, but was Julio at the bars on Lower Broadway, or did he come to the game? 3 for 29, really? AJ Brown 4 for 49, and he scored. But come on, you got AJ Brown and Julio Jones. You got two great receivers, and 17 for 58 for Henry. I don't know what happened there, but for me, the Titans' offense in that game was maybe the biggest outside of our Bengals winning that Vikings game. Maybe the biggest shocker of the week, because I know the Titans weren't getting a whole lot of love in Vegas on their win total, but I discounted that because I thought they were an 11-12 win team. But good night, that was nasty.
Yeah, Rob, you know that I'm on record with saying that I think that Julio Jones is going to be outside the top 24 wide receivers this year, and he's well on his way after week one.
Yeah, 100% right, and he was healthy. Like, by all accounts, he was healthy. So maybe it's just a matter of this offense meshing. I don't know, but if it doesn't mesh quickly, what you're going to have here is you're going to have a situation similar to the Bengal team that had Chad Johnson and Terrell Owens. It's not going to come together because you got these two alpha receivers, one older, and it never meshes and never works. And I hate to see that because I like the team and I like the coaching staff and I like the players individually, but they're going to have to figure this shit out quick. Okay, we're going to go one more surprise, rapid fire. Tom, what you got?
San Francisco's running back situation. Most are getting hurt, not a shock. Elijah Mitchell being the lead back and Trey Sermon being a healthy scratch, that was unbelievable to me because Sermon had been pumped all year as the second Mostert went down, he was going to be the lead back. He didn't even dress, and Elijah Mitchell knocked it out of the park.
Let me just toot my own horn once again. I wrote Elijah Mitchell up on another site earlier in the summer as a potential guy because the coaching staff loved him from the jump. They loved him in OTAs. They raved about him. He has chip on his shoulder. He's a very versatile guy. So I was shocked to see him get the opportunity, but I wasn't shocked that he ran, so to speak, with it. So yeah, that San Francisco backfield is an absolute crapshoot with the emphasis on crap most of the time. So I don't know. As a running back too, if no one hit on Mitchell this week, there's going to be a lot of fab spent on him. And next week could just as easily be Jamichael Hasty. So what do you do there? Lee, what do you got?
How about the Cowboys offense picking up right where they left off before Dak Prescott got hurt? I mean, everybody said, no, Dak's not going to continue to average 400 passing yards a game, but guess what? He is. Amari Cooper lit it up, CeeDee Lamb lit it up, and those guys are only going to eat more now that Michael Gallup's on the short-term IR.
Absolutely, 100%. Imagine what Lamb and Cooper are going to do. And they had two tight ends being productive, and they also had Cedric Wilson. So do you see Wilson gaining a bigger role, more of what Gallup is leaving on the field, or do you see it just being divided up between the tight ends and the two receivers?
Well, you know, there's never a clear inherited path to the targets, right? It always gets redistributed in unequal ways. But I think one thing you're definitely going to see is more of an emphasis on the running game. They hardly ran the ball at all against Tampa Bay, and that's because of just how good their defensive front is. You're not going to see another game where Ezekiel Elliott only gets 11 carries.
I certainly hope not, because that was hard to watch. As an Elliott owner in numerous other formats, that was hard to watch. So moving on, we're going to go to three guys each in rapid fire fashion. We're going to do them all at the same time. Lee's going to do, or Tom's going to do three, Lee three, and then my three. So three guys, and this doesn't have to be sleepers. It can be guys who underperformed this week, but guys you got your eye on for this upcoming week. Tom, go.
Okay, my first one, Aaron Rodgers. There's no way he doesn't have a huge bounce back against Detroit's defense. They already lost their best cornerback. I mean, him and Davante Adams are going to go crazy. My other one is Najee Harris going up against the Raiders, whose run defense doesn't really scare anybody. Then again, neither does Pittsburgh's offensive line. But on volume alone, he should do well. And my last one is Javonte Williams, which I thought he had a lot clearer path to being the one. But Melvin Gordon's showing that he's still got some life left in the tank. So it may take him a little longer to get there than I thought. But I think he'll have a big game this week, too.
When is that old fart, and I say old by NFL standards, when is he going to stop just upsetting the apple cart talking about Melvin Gordon? We write him off as dead, and then he runs a long touchdown in.
Jeez. He looked terrific against New York, and New York's defense isn't junk.
Like, Melvin, go away already, okay? I love Javonte, but Melvin Gordon is the penultimate fly in the ointment.
I've got a soft spot for Melvin Gordon. He's won me a lot of jelly beans over the years.
He's a plotter, and he's just a guy. But you look up, and he's got 110 yards or 120 yards and a touchdown. You're like, what the hell? All right, so good stuff. Lee, what do you got?
So as we talked about at the outset, I'm always going dumpster diving. So these are three of my recommended plays this week from Hail Mary Football, from the weekly Hail Mary column we have. Number one, if you're in a bind at running back, look no further than James White of the Patriots. He's 33% owned, so he barely qualifies for my lists. But this is probably going to be the last week that you can get him. He's playing the completely dysfunctional New York Jets defense, and the Patriots should have no trouble at all moving the ball against that defense. Christian McCaffrey just steamrolled the same defense for 9 catches and 89 yards. Now, hear me out. I know White isn't McCaffrey, but there's no reason to think he can't cobble together a poor man's version of McCaffrey's production through the air. And so in most leagues now being a PPR format, this guy is a locked and loaded, safe flex play. My number two guy, if you need a wide receiver this week, KJ Hamler of the Broncos is available in 98% of leagues. There are more targets available in the wake of the Jerry Jeudy injury. I do believe that Tim Patrick is going to slide into Judy's role on the outside, and Hamler is going to continue to be in the slot. Patrick is probably the better bet for a short touchdown. We've seen that many times in the past. But Hamler is probably the better bet for volume, with the added bonus of being able to have a long score due to his speed. Fire up your wide receivers against the Jaguars is probably going to be my mantra this season. Just look what Brandon Cooks did to him last week. So I love KJ Hamler this week. And if you want him, he's probably available in your league. The final guy, and Dan, Rob, I think you and I are going to have a disagreement on this one. But if you need a streamer at tight end, look to the New Orleans Saints and look to Adam Trautman. Yeah, I know you just
tight end.
Yeah, we'll fight this one out. But I know that everybody just saw Juwan Johnson score 2 touchdowns for the Saints. But Trautman was actually more involved than Johnson in this game, and by a wide margin. Did you know, Rob, Tom, did you know that Trautman was the most targeted pass catcher for the Saints this week? He had a 30% target share. That's going to lead to production moving forward, assuming similar usage. He's got the Panthers on tap this week, and I think he is a safer bet for points than his teammate Johnson.
Lee, I love the Hamler call that him and Tim Patrick should be on everyone's list, and everyone should be spending fab on them, and I think that's a good call for him getting deep shots. You can keep Adam Trautman. In fact, you can have him. He may if you're dumpster diving for tight ends, okay? If you're not getting a high volume guy like Waller or like Kelsey, then you're just looking for a guy who's going to catch a touchdown or two. And Juwan Johnson is the touchdown maker. It's almost like him and Jameis Winston maybe, you know, had a smoothie together before the game. Maybe they had one soda and two straws. Those guys were like, oh, I'm going to make you some money in the end zone, and I'm going to make you some money. They were hooked up. And all you want at the tight end position as a streamer, touchdowns. Touchdowns. I'm totally of the mindset, if you can't get one of the top two or three tight ends, just look for the guys who are going to get you the touchdowns. But go ahead, Tom.
Can I throw in one other thing on tight ends?
Yes.
O'Shaughnessy in Jacksonville.
Ooh.
He was the third most targeted tight end in the league Sunday.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. I have him in a league where there's not a starting player left on the waiver wire. And I just grabbed him as a tight end because I needed a second one.
And Lee, being a Notre Dame alumni, and myself being straight Irish, O'Shaughnessy, that's perfect.
Yeah.
He didn't go to Notre Dame.
No, but you're a Notre Dame alumni, and he's Irish. See where I'm going there?
Yeah, we're basically like adopted cousins.
Okay, so I'm going to throw my three out. And again, I know I keep tuning my own horn, but it's just so someone will listen. I'm going to go with Anthony Schwartz, Cleveland. He led the Browns. Well, I say led. He tied for the Browns in targets. He had 3 for 69. Granted, he didn't score, but if Baker Mayfield makes a connection with this dude, he has sprinter speed coming out of the SEC. The knock on him was he needed some help with his route running, and he needed to get comfortable at the NFL level. But to come out as a rookie, and especially a late round rookie, and put up those decent numbers and play a lot of snaps and tie for the team lead and targets, there's nowhere to go but up. And I guarantee nobody knows anyone that owns him in any format, unless it's a best ball or very, very deep dynasty league, right? I got him in a dynasty, so I know me. Yeah. But
I have him on my taxi squad in a few leagues.
Yes. Okay. He's a good speculative pickup. But and I know Beckham didn't play this week. But is Beckham ever really going to mesh with Baker Mayfield? Or is Baker going to pick it up with a young guy like Schwartz, who isn't always like, give me the damn ball? I don't know. I like the guy, and I'm going to pick him up in every format that I can. So my second guy, no surprise, is Juwan Johnson, converted wide receiver. They raved about him all camp. You got a new starting quarterback who seems to have immediately caught a chemistry with a new tight end. Trautman might be the volume guy, but this could be a situation sort of like Eric Ebron a couple of years ago, where he had a ton of touchdowns on not a whole lot of targets. And if you had Ebron a couple of years ago, you were happy with the touchdown production minus the yards and the catches. Because like I said, when you're scrap heaping tight ends, you're just happy to get touchdowns.
Rob, so you know what's going to happen now, right?
No, you're going to tell me.
You're pimping Johnson. I'm pimping Adam Trautman, which means that they're gonna line Taysom Hill up at tight end, and he's going to get the touchdowns this week.
Well, I own Taysom Hill in a couple of best ball formats, so let's do it. Let's get that boy out there and get him some touchdowns. So the third one is Trey Sermon. Okay, I don't know what Shanahan was doing. Okay, I've never been a big fan of punishing guys and embarrassing guys to make a point. I'm like, these guys are adults, they're professionals. Why do you, like, listen, Brandon Ayuk is an example. Why do you do that guy that way and not get him any targets or not stuff? Okay, obviously I'm a Brandon Ayuk owner in a lot of formats, so I'm still salty about that. All the flavors, and I'm salty. But Trey Sermon, I don't know what he did. I haven't heard what he did or whatever reason they're giving for him to have been inactive, but I'm not buying the Elijah Mitchell beat him out in camp. I'm a Mitchell fan, but they got serious draft capital tied up in Sermon. He was a major college player. He was a star. We were all looking at this guy to be the bell cow. But now that Raheem Mostert, once again, and I've died on Mostert's hill too many times. In fact, I think I've learned my lesson. But,
I think Mostert died on his own hill.
I think he died going up that hill. But now that he has out for the season, they basically have no choice but to activate Sermon. And what's going to happen when he gets like two or three carries and he busts one of those for 40 to 50 yards? Okay, it's going to be Trey Sermon season. Elijah Mitchell is going to play a backup role, and Jamichael Hasty is going to fade into the background. But a Sermon Mitchell backfield at a 60-40 split, that's a win-win for both of them, especially in the Shanahan offense. So those are my three guys. Any criticisms, any critiques?
Not a criticism, but you just never know what Kyle Shanahan's going to do. I mean, you say, well, he's got to give it to Sermon. Well, not necessarily. He could give it to Jamichael Hasty. He could give it to Jeff Wilson Jr. when he comes back.
I foresee that being an issue when Wilson comes back, because Shanahan's had major love for Jeff Wilson Jr. Probably, you know what? He probably has love for Jeff Wilson Sr.
Well, when Trey Lance starts playing football games, he's going to take touches from everybody.
Ugh, don't even go there, Tom. I don't even want to think about that. I want Lance to be a passer, not a runner. I need a drop back passer.
He's going to be both.
I know. And that backfield's going to get even murkier, and I'm staying away from the whole damn thing. All right, so good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Let's see. Anything else anyone wants to add before we start to wrap this up?
I'm good.
All right. So, Tom, anything?
I got nothing.
Damn, boys, I think we killed this for the first episode. Lee, appreciate you coming on. So tell me once again where you can be found, what you got going on, and tell us why we need to go there.
We're at HailMaryFootball.com. We have the Hail Mary Football podcast that you can find on any of the podcasting apps. And we can also be reached on Twitter at FootballHail or Gmail, Hail Mary FB at gmail.com. Again, we are the place that you turn when you are absolutely desperate. We're giving you a prayer with at least three recommended streamers each week at quarterback, running back, tight end, and wide receiver. Our goal is to get a 50% hit rate on the year and to give you actionable advice on players that you can pick up that should be available in your league.
And let me tell you, anyone that's listening, the deeper we get into the season, the more his hit rate goes up and the more you need to check that out. So, Tom, what do you got going on? Anything?
I have articles every Friday on the fantasy coaches. I still haven't quite figured out what I'm putting in this week. Last week's was about how I fell in love with football. You might want to check that out.
I did read that. Good read, actually. Good read.
Oh, thank you. And like I said, trying to build up my Twitter page and see where we can go with that. I think the next time we do this, though, we got to put the hairy guy between the two bald guys.
Bald is beautiful, baby.
Yeah, but it's a little disconcerting.
I'll shave my head to match, guys.
I'd pay for that shit, all right? Hey, so listen, I can be found writing two or three articles weekly on StripeHype.com. I am a paid contributor there. That is a Bengal fan website. I also do some occasional stuff for the fantasy coaches, not as much as I want to, because with this whole full-time job thing, I'm just spread out too thin. I need to quit my job and just do this full-time. I'm sure you all agree with me. I also do stuff for a couple other sites I won't mention, but come visit us at thefantasycoaches.com. We have 5 days worth of podcasts, Sunday through Thursday. Anything you have a taste for, DFS, daily, dynasty, whatever you're looking for, it's on thefantasycoaches.com. There's some sharp dudes on there. We do this shit for free, okay? Don't listen to the paid guys because they have an angle. They're getting paid. We do this stuff because we love it. So we're putting more work into it. We're putting more effort into it. Trust us. Come to thefantasycoaches.com. So I can be found on Twitter at RobMaddox2. Hit me up. Hit us all up, okay? So guys, it's been a good episode. Lee, thanks for coming on. We'll do it again. Tom, good stuff as always. And we are out.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of Clark Kents. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act internacting. Like boom, running like Zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running. track. Listen up, Jack, I'ma head back. Back to the blowing that, blowing that, blowing that, go.